Lee Peters is going to be sharing a word with us this morning because Louie's not feeling well. And I told him he could just go ahead and come up. But since Bill got to share some stories, I wanted to say that I'm excited that Lee gets to come up and share with us because I remember years ago him as a little boy running around in the compound. It's just not the same, is it? I mean, it's just no. I've known Lee. In fact, he said he has not shared he has not preached at this congregation in 20 years. So apparently, we have a bad rep. He and his wife they pastored a church in Chattanooga for years. So he's going to share with us today. And I said, you know, that's pretty amazing because I was here when you did that last time. So anyways, I'm excited. I actually remember thinking, oh, great, Lee's going to preach. So I was excited. And I don't know if it was then or some of the other times I've heard you speak, but I'm looking forward to it. So Lee, if you'd come share with us, I appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate this time that we have to speak to you and worship with you. We are not happy with the reason I'm here because Pastor Louie is sick. And so when Diane called me the other day, she asked if I would fill in because he's sick. And I said, well, 2 days, that'll be good enough. Boy, that was optimistic. When you get to be my age, 2 days go by very quickly. As we come to speak to you, it brings back a lot of memories. We first came and worshiped with you back in 1985. Mother had come here to Elizabethan in 84. And so we spent 1 year with you and traveled with you as they had pilgrimage from the bus at different places. I can't name all of them that we were at during that time. We came back for our next furlough in 90 and 91, so we worshiped with you then. And then 95, when we came, we didn't realize that we were going to be with you a little bit longer. And so we were worshiped with you until 1998, when I was called to be the pastor in Chattanooga. So anyway, time flies, doesn't it? Some of you will remember our being with you, and for others, we're happy to see there are many new ones that we're just getting acquainted with during these days. But as I was asked to speak, the Lord put on my heart to speak from something that I wouldn't have chosen, but the Lord brought it to my heart, and it has to do with much of the day in which we live. And that we would like to talk to you about this and let the Lord remind us of the special place he has for us. And so let's bow in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and we are so thankful as to who we are in Christ. We are thankful, Father, for even this morning to join together in worship. What a touch of heaven. So we thank you for this time that we have to look into your word and to worship you. We do pray for Pastor Louie and several others of this congregation that need a special touch from you this morning. May your healing touch be their portion. But most of all, minister to them, body, mind, and spirit. Father, lift up our eyes and let us see the glory of what it means to walk with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you to Proverbs and chapter 12. Just one verse here. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up, or a good word. Many of your translations have, which I prefer. I'm not sure why the NIV put kind, because it's much better than that, just kind. It is good. And I say that because we're in a time today when we have all these seminars for all these different things, and you learn all these methods. This is how you cheer people up, and you do this, and you do that. And after a while, that is good, and by the way, I appreciate those, but we forget that it's the good word of God that lifts the spirit. It is a supernatural event when God reaches down and lifts us up. You know, Christians should be the most positive, upbeat people on the face of the earth. We have so much in Christ Jesus, and we're reminded much of that as we join together in worship this morning and singing these marvelous songs and hymns, and reminded as to who we are in Christ Jesus. But you know, we live in a day in which discouragement and even despair is sweeping our nation, and it creeps into the church. And we want to talk about that this morning, because I have learned in my 50-some years of ministry that you can't tell by the smile on people's faces of what's going on in their hearts. And we find that many times we can smile, and in fact, I catch myself, some people say, "How are you doing today?" "Oh, wonderful." "Yeah, right." You know, and we don't allow the family of God to minister. We have this pessimism that has crept in, especially since the election. It's hard to tell who won, but, you know, there is this heaviness. And we need to learn how God wants to use us, and we want to talk about that this morning. One man, in noting this, said this. He said, "The King of Comics, as far as I'm concerned, is Peanuts by Charles Schulz." Some of you would agree with that. And he goes on to say, "One sequence comes to mind. Linus has just written a comic strip of his own. He wants Lucy's opinion. In the first frame, he tentatively hands Lucy his comic strip and says, 'Lucy, would you please read this and tell me if you think it's funny?' In the next frame, you see Lucy with a little smile creeping on her face, and she's tapping her foot, and she's looking at him and thinking. And then she says, 'Linus, who wrote this?' And Linus was so proud, he puffed out his chest and said, 'Lucy, I wrote this.' She wadded it up and threw it on the ground and said, 'In that case, it's not funny.'" And then, next frame, we find Linus picks up the paper and opens it up, starts to walk away, throwing his blanket over his shoulder. And he said, "Big sisters are the crabgrass in the lawns of life." And, yeah. And you know, as many times in the church, we find that when we have opportunities to encourage and uplift people, we find ourselves being the crabgrass in somebody's life. And we dwell on the negative when we could be able to lift up their eyes upon Jesus, to remind them of who we are in Christ. And this is what Solomon is talking about here, because in God's grace, he has given us his salvation, he has given us his love, he has given us his strength. We have everything we need to be victorious in this life. Everything. But I'm convinced the enemy of our souls works overtime in bringing discouragement and despair to so many of God's children. Having grown up in the church, my father was a pastor, so as far back as I can remember, it was church. But having grown up in the church, I discovered very quickly there were some people I avoided. Some of God's people are so sour, and they can discourage you faster than anything anyone can do. And then, I'll tell you, I've been on here in the States and in the Philippines for 32 years, some of the dearest people I've ever met. Here in the States and there, that love Jesus. And just to be around them, they lift up your spirits. And I what comes to mind are certain people that have gone through some very difficult physical problems. And yet, there is a joy in their hearts that is supernatural. How can they be joyful? It is Jesus. So we find that Solomon is really saying here, what will it be? What will it be? Clouds or sunshine? It's a choice. What will it be? So we want to look at the clouds of a discourager, and we want to look at the sunshine of an encourager. Very simple. You can remember that. Solomon has these bits of wisdom, and they don't seem to be very profound until you dwell on them and you discover there's a wealth of truth that he's trying to get through here. And so we find that he says that an anxious heart weighs a man down. Life normally has its ups and downs. People that are always going with a smile on their face probably have a heavy heart, and it's all put on. Because life has its ups and downs. How many times do the scriptures say, encourage one another with these words? Why would you encourage one another except it is normal to get discouraged in the life in which we live? We are to be encouragers. Job had his encouragers, but they were only good for a week. And the reason they were good then is because they didn't say anything. And for 1 week, they were quiet. And then they started talking and just tore Job all apart. The discouragers. And what is the cause of discouragement as we look at this? And discouragement has been classified as being very near depression and despair. One psychologist has said depression is by far the psychotic symptom and is found in every stage of mental illness, from a temporary depression in a normal person who has suffered great personal disappointment to the deep suicidal depression of a psychotic. And this depression can be caused by many things. One is physical. It is physical. Physical suffering can be a terrible blow in someone's life. Dr. Stephen Alford, who, by the way, was our baccalaureate speaker, a good Baptist preacher, was he called his church the Baptist Church of the Christian Missionary Alliance. He loved Simpson, and so he came when he was in New York City when we were studying at NIAC. He spoke many times, and what a blessing he was to us at that time. But Dr. Alford talks about a very dear friend, a marvelously gifted pastor, had a great ministry. And then there was an accident, and he broke his leg, and he was laid up for 6 months. Now, of course, that's back when maybe they didn't have everything they have now, but he was saying his dear friend got to a place in which he was saying, I will never preach again. Praise God, God lifted him up and that. But you see, it's amazing how physical problems can throw us into despair. And that's where it says, encourage one another. We are to hold one another up. Also, there's psychological reasons. You know, the Hebrew thought, the heart symbolizes mental, emotional, and volitional aspects of human personality. And psychological problems can be influenced by physical problems and vice versa. We are very complex beings. And this is why God says we are to encourage one another. You've all heard the story about the young Midwestern lawyer that suffered very deep depression. In fact, his family and friends would keep razors and everything sharp away from him because he was a danger to himself. But this man became one of our great presidents, Abraham Lincoln. And what we say this is, God, when God says, encourage one another, he is saying, human life has its difficulties and problems, and we are to stand with one another and encourage one another. In the early signs of discouragement, we are told, is sadness, loss of interest in work and even leisure, also restlessness and agitation. There are feelings of worthlessness, failure, hopelessness, self-reproach, and guilt. Dr. Shepson, whom a number of you know, since he was part of starting this church way back, he is my wife's uncle, so we got to know him quite well. And one day he said to me, he said, "Lee, you know," he said, "I'm having services all over the United States and Canada in many different churches. But," he said, "one thing that seems to be true in every church, when I announce that on a certain day I'm going to preach on discouragement, I have my largest crowd. And he says, "Does that mean that we are struggling with discouragement that much in this country?" And that was a few years ago. And we find that this is something that when God says encourage one another, he is saying it is normal for the human to fall into discouragement and depression, but the church is that one that's going to lift them up. We need one another. That is what it said. And you know, so one of the problems that, before I go on, that causes all of this is spiritual. When you suddenly fall out of harmony with God, no matter how many times a week you attend church, no matter what you are doing, but something has crept into your life and you're no longer in harmony with God, discouragement comes in because Satan has a foothold in your life. But you know, that's the easiest thing to deal with, because the scriptures tell us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The easiest problem you are going to face in your life is spiritual, because God's standing right there ready to cleanse it. There are other things that may take a little longer, dealing with the adjustments to life. And for right now, I'm adjusting to retirement, and it's amazing. After 50-some years of ministry, all of a sudden I'm retired. And then other physical problems that I've been having lately, and I think that's why God led me to this. Maybe it was for me more than you. And that is to recognize this fact, that Satan is trying everything possible to bring discouragement into your life. And you say, "What's wrong with me?" Nothing's wrong with you. We need the encouragement of one another. And if you weren't encouraged with the song service this morning, whatever you want to call that, the singing of these marvelous songs, if you weren't encouraged, you'd need to get your hearing checked. That this is marvelous. Being reminded of who we are in Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. God didn't mean for us to fall into discouragement. He didn't make us that way. He made us to be free. He made us to be people that can walk in joy and in harmony. That's why we are told in Psalms 55, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. Why? Because it's these cares, anxieties that tear you down. And of course in 1 Peter, cast every care on him for he cares for you. And Satan is working overtime to try to put these burdens on you. My friends, you are not meant to carry those burdens. You are to cast them on the Lord. The Lord loves you and he is inviting you to just cast it to him. You know, discouragement can defeat an army. It can destroy a home and totally ruin a life. But God. So Solomon says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind or a good word cheers him up. This is, God has an answer to that problem that is so normal among all of us, some more than others. As we have just said, there's Abraham Lincoln and others, you know, that this was a difficulty they had to deal with. And it's a normal part of life, and God has the answer. So as we look around us, we can become so discouraged. Listen to the news and you become discouraged. We find that then there are those that say, what you need to do is look inside you. My friends, when you look inside you, that's not going to give you victory. When we are honest with what is inside us, we're going to be all the more discouraged. But we don't look in, we look up. God wants to do something very special for us even this morning. And let's be reminded what is the source and strength of our encouragement. And it is found in the Lord. I once asked a man that had a tremendous ministry of lifting up people. And I said to him, what do you think about Christian psychologists? And I thought, that's probably a tender spot. And this man looked at me and he said, I'm all for it if they take people to Jesus. If they take people to Jesus, because that's what it's all about. If they can help you to sort through the problems you have and begin to see Jesus more clearly, then your problems are solved because it's found in Him. The source of encouragement, the good word that cheers them up. We find in James chapter 1 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The good word is the Lord's word. It is God's word. This is what lifts one another up. And again, as I said at the beginning, we go to these seminars and, you know, this is how you encourage people and do it. My friends, if that encouragement does not have Jesus right in the center of it, it has very limited as to how much it can do. But it's amazing. It's amazing as we look to Jesus. As I told several times this week and last night, as I told my wife this morning, I said, you know, all of a sudden I woke up and I was in despair. And I didn't know why. And I just began praying. And all of a sudden, in the midst of that darkness, as I struggled with this, came the light. He did it. I couldn't get a hold of things in my half-asleep position there. You know, and I was struggling with all this. And then I said, oh, God. And I found that He suddenly just turned on the light. That was the only way. All of a sudden, from darkness to light. And God is waiting for us to call out to Him, because the answer is not found in so many books and other things. It's found in Jesus. And if those helps do not lead us to Christ, we don't find the real answer. We find that the source of encouragement is found in Him. Martin Luther was a man, if you read any of his about him, he did have problems with discouragement. And he fell into a discouraging time, and it went on day after day. And one day his wife came down the stairs dressed in totally black clothes. And Martin Luther looked at her and said, who died? She said, God died. And he said, God didn't die. And she said, well, get up and begin to act like He's alive. And God used that to break him from darkness into light. You see, these are normal things in our human struggles, some more than others. But in the midst of it all is Jesus, is the light. And when we allow Him to turn the light on, we find that He is the source of our encouragement. We encourage one another by pointing them to Jesus, and God can use us in many different ways of doing that. Stop trying to get it down to a system, the American way of doing it. Just let the Holy Spirit work through you. Pray for that person and reach out to them and allow God to touch their lives. It may be even something as simple as like Mrs. Luther did. you know, in that the Lord may say, okay, you want to get his attention, try this. How you can be able to get the eyes reached up to Jesus. And the strength of our encouragement is the good word that cheers. Nehemiah had a problem, and that is here they were trying to rebuild the walls, and it was a discouraging time. They had all kinds of enemies. They had many problems. And we find in Nehemiah chapter 8, 10, which is a verse that you know very well, says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, in my 50-some years of ministry, I have seen strange things. And there was once, and I think it was up in Canada, I hope. This one church. And that was that what we need is joy. We need to laugh. And so they would tell jokes, and they get try to work people up into laughing. That actually happened. Trying to say, well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if we're going to be strength, we need to have joy. We need to, my friends, this is talking about something so much deeper than that. It's not something that we are able to manufacture, that we are to lift up. We are to point people to Jesus. The good word is found in the Gospels. Notice how many times Jesus said, be of good cheer, or be encouraged. When the man was brought to him that was and could not walk, and he was in terrible straits, what did Jesus say to him? Be encouraged, son. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. You see, the first thing of encouragement comes when we're in right relationship with the Father. And Jesus was saying, your sins are forgiven. Now we've taken care of the major problem in your life. And then he took care of the physical problem. But it wasn't, the physical problem was not his major problem. It was being in right relationship with God. And that's where Jesus started. He is the Savior. When the disciples were on the stormy sea, and several of them were fishermen, and they were scared to death. And then Jesus walks on the water. He appears to them, and their reaction was, my goodness, it was bad enough. Now we have a ghost coming to us. And so Jesus says to them, be encouraged. How many times did he say, be encouraged? When he says, encourage one another, he was setting the example. When you put your trust in Jesus, you find the encouragement you are needing. And also that he is the sovereign Lord. When the disciples were being told by Jesus about their future, Jesus said to them in John chapter 16, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, or be encouraged. I have overcome the world. So you're dealing with a problem today, and you're dealing with the ultimate problem of tomorrow. Jesus says, I am the answer. Be encouraged. I am the one that can take you through the storms of this life. I am the one who am going to take you on to glory. I have a plan for your life. Be encouraged. And then Jesus told them that he is the reigning king. In John chapter 15, he was talking about the branch, the vine and the branch. And he says to his disciples, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Have you thought much about this lately? That we are tied to Jesus. He says, I am the vine, you are the branch. My friends, if you are looking for strength, you look to Jesus, and he wants to flow that strength into your life. He said, this is going to be the greatest thing you've ever heard. And this was all new to the disciples, and he was telling them something that was going to carry them through the persecution and all the struggles that they were going to have down the road. And Jesus says, you got to remember that you are tied to me, and I am flowing into you. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. It is Jesus. He is there to help us through the storms of life. He is there telling us he knows where he's going. Just trust him and follow him. He is there saying, and my strength, my spirit will flow in you. Think about that this week. When you're in your devotions, think about that. Lord, your life is flowing in me. Teach me what that means. Teach me what that means. That the life of Christ is flowing in us. And he is wanting to give us strength that we don't have. He wants to give us direction and power, and he wants to give us fruit. All that is accepted. You see, Jesus is the source of our joy. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way. He is the way to the Father. He's the way to life. He is the way to forgiveness and holiness. He is the way to joy. You see, walking in joy is very simple. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not struggling through all of these different things. You take all those things and give them to Jesus, because he is the answer. And the writer of the Hebrews said to them and says to us this morning, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Let us encourage, just as Jesus said to his disciples, be encouraged. He is now saying, you are to encourage one another. All the more as you see the day approaching. Have you thought about that lately? Hard to listen to the news without saying, Lord, your coming must be soon. What a mess this world is in. And you know, the things that are happening today, we never dreamed would happen even 10 years ago. The time is moving, and it's moving fast. All the more as you see the day approaching, because as that day approaches, Satan is going to work extra hard to discourage you. He is going to work extra hard pulling different ones down, and we need to be there to lift one another up in prayer, in encouragement, in help. As I was thinking about this message, I said to the Lord, give me a verse or a something that's happened in Scripture that kind of illustrates what we're talking about this morning. And he took me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Oh, you know it well. You don't need to look it up, but you're welcome to. Acts chapter 16. You see, Paul and Silas are on a missionary trip, and they come to Philippi, and they want to plant a church there, and they want to serve Jesus in that city. They want to see people come to Christ, and it looks like everything's going well, and then there this gal, this girl comes to them, and she is demon-possessed, and she tells fortunes, and her owners, quote-unquote, we're making a lot of money off of her. And for some reason, she latched on to Paul and Silas. And day after day, she followed them around. Till finally, Paul said that that's enough is enough. And he turned around and he commanded that evil spirit to depart from that girl. And the greatest thing that girl had ever dreamed of happened. She was set free. She was set free. That doesn't help you start a church. What will? But the owners of this gal saw that they are going to lose their income. And they started to stir the people up. And they told all kinds of lies and things, you know. That never happens today, does it? And in fact, it's very interesting when they go and interview people that are demonstrating. And we find that this person, why are you here, tells them one thing, and this person, you know, and they're all excited about something, but seldom are they excited about the same thing. And we find that this mob mentality isn't new to the 21st century. This was something that happened then. And these men stirred us up until finally they were afraid that great riots were going to break out. And Paul and Silas are right at the center of this. Here are men doing good and seeking to help people. And they take them and they beat them. And they whip them. There's the difference. You read about whipping. Their backs were raw. And they threw them in prison. And then they put them in stocks. Have you ever been put in stocks? Only one time, you know, we were at one of these colonial places, you know, and you could put your arms and head in there, and they wouldn't let anyone lock it. But, you know, and you say, my goodness, it wouldn't take long before your legs, your arms, and everything starts hurting. Now, take someone like Paul and Silas, beat them to a pulp, literally, and then put them in stocks. And there's no way to get comfortable. You know, I said to myself as I was reading this, what would I have done in that place? Well, they were embarrassed because they came to start a church. And here are all these prisoners looking on. And I could hear, you know, someone in this situation would say, men, you need to understand, we are not guilty. We are innocent. We have been harmed, you know, and you can imagine what would happen if somebody said that in prison. They would say, yeah, we know all about that. We've heard that before. But all the pain and the discouragement and the insults, what did Paul and Silas do? I wish that the Bible had filled that in. They just took us from that into the what happened. Paul and Silas, they gave it all to Jesus. The only way you can explain this story is that the supernatural happened. You say, well, they broke out in song, and I've heard people say, well, when you get in this kind of situation, you need to sing. Do you realize how their throats must have been raw? They were in agony. They were beaten. And you can't even imagine what they just went through. And they're going to say, now let's tune up. You know, we'll sing this song. We sang it last week in church. When I began to think about that story, I said, here we are. They had the choice. They had the choice of clouds and discouragement and feeling sorry for themselves and pleading their innocence, or they could turn to Jesus. Turn to the good word. Turn to Him. And the only way you can explain this is the supernatural. And that is that they obviously lifted their voices up to Jesus. And they didn't complain. They began to praise Him. They began to worship Him. And out of their hearts came the songs. I hope they wrote them down. You know, can you imagine the songs they were singing? Victory. Victory came to these men not because they did the right things, but because they grabbed a hold of God. And they worshiped God. And in that worship came forth songs. Some of the greatest songs we've ever had came out of this kind of sorrow. And from the heart, God inspired the song. And it's something that has blessed people down through the ages. And I have a feeling maybe when we get to heaven, we'll discover, you mean you didn't hear that song? They began singing that. You know, it was something that came from God, inspired by Him. And their spirits were uplifted. And suddenly they no longer felt the pain. They no longer felt all this. And I like that one little phrase that the prisoners heard them. You want to start a church? Worship Jesus. Demonstrate something that is supernatural. When everything is falling apart, give it to Jesus. When your life is in shambles, give it to Jesus. when you're misunderstood and things are not going the way you would like it to go, give it to Jesus. What happens? Sometimes it just begins as like that Elijah said, that the cloud is like a little hand, you know, but he says, it's coming. And sometimes the joy starts that way, but it's something inspired by God. My friends, what we need today is the supernatural work of God in our lives and in our hearts and in our churches. And when we do that, we're going to discover that God loves to encourage and uplift, and He loves to use each other. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. Why? We just keep each other's eyes upon Jesus. Father, we want to thank You this morning. We are thankful, Father, that in a day in which there is so much discouragement and things that are happening that it seems like we can't even understand some of these things. But in the midst of it all, You are calling Your people to give all the hurt and disappointment and struggles to Him. Not try to work through it, but to give it to Jesus. Like Paul and Silas gave all their pain and sorrow and their futures to Jesus. And suddenly the supernatural happened. Lord, remind us this day that we are Your children. And You desire to do things in our lives and through our lives we never dreamed of. But it all comes when we give it all to Jesus. We pray with thanksgiving in His name.